All right. Let's get you spotlighted here. All right, we are now joined by Daniel Hemrick, the driver of the number 18 Poppy Bank Toyota, who finished second in today's race. We're actually going to go straight to questions for you, Daniel. And as a reminder to the media, you can raise your hand by going down to the reactions button to ask, and then I'll call on you to ask a question, or you can send me a message in the chat function. We will start off with Bob Pockris.
Yeah, Daniel, on the restart, you chose the outside. I'm curious if you had any thoughts of starting to start on the inside, and if so, what made the outside the choice?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like strength of numbers. You got some help on the bottom, you can make it work all day, but, you know, for me, if I could just hold serve, you know, be door handle with AJ through one and two, I felt like my car was so good in that middle lane. Through one and two, through three and four, I felt confident I could clear them no matter what happened. You know, that plan obviously deteriorated when I launched. I honestly got too far out in the bottom lane from what I could tell. I haven't seen a replay of it. From what I could tell, they just got linked up and had so much momentum coming back. Whenever I went to go turn down the side draft, I was on the splitter, and you know, I probably was late getting there in general. So, yeah, woulda, coulda, shoulda. You know, I thought AJ's car there the last half of the race was probably better short run. I felt like from lap 10 on, we were better to about lap 30. And then obviously his car was good at the very end too. So, yeah, it was just a matter of where we were going to fall on the lap count. Going back, I don't know if I wouldn't have done anything different.
And the fact that you're going to be in good cars every week, and the fact that you have a full-time ride, does that lessen the sting at all finishing second?
Yes and no. You know, everyone on this group, you know, they've had a tough last season, no different than what I had. So I more or less want to get the victory lane for these guys. Everyone at Toyota Racing TRD, they give us all the tools and resources to come here and try to win these races. And when you line up and you have a shot in a race car like that, you want to be able to perform and do that. Thought I was as good as I could be on the majority of the restarts all day up until that one. Yeah, just nature of the beast. But, you know, the good thing is I know we have race cars like this next week, following week, and the week after that. I look forward to that, having these shots again.
Thank you.
We are also joined by Brandon Jones, driver of the number 19 Menards Turtle Wax Toyota, who finished third in today's race. We're going to take the spotlight off of Daniel. So now whoever is speaking between the two will pop up. So a reminder to the media, just keep yourself muted in between questions. I'll take questions for both drivers. And next we'll go to Lee Spencer.
Thank you. And Brandon, I had a question for you. That last pit stop, I think you guys broke an air gun. You think that was the difference between putting yourself in a better position? I mean, can't complain about a podium, but still, do you think you would have had something for AJ?
I don't know. You know, I mean, I think my guys reacted about as fast as they possibly could have to you know, fixing that problem. They jumped on it really quick, but I don't think that was maybe the deciding factor. I'm extremely good in these restarts, and in my opinion, anyways, you know, I've won plenty of these races, being really aggressive and smart on restarts, and thought I had the best restart that I'd had the entire day today at that last one that we had. And AJ threw a monstrous block, and just all day, and even last year coming here, we've struggled in traffic a bunch for whatever reason that is. So, you know, I wish that he would have just stayed on the bottom and I could have, you know, maybe challenged that spot a little bit. But clean air was obviously the determining factor today, and you can get out front, you got a bunch of speed. So, yeah, it was all in all a really good day, and I think there was a lot to gain off of. This is a bunch of top fives already. We're in a string of them right now. And this is probably the best I've started off a year so far. So looking forward to what else is in store for us this year. And everyone knows Phoenix next week. So we're going to have a really good super when we go to that track.
Fair to say that you're happy with the Gibbs Intermediate program?
Yeah, very happy. I think that, you know, there's always work to do. I think there's always work to do, even if you win the race too, you know, but yes, 100%. I mean, this is, you know, every time we come, we're in contention to win the race at the end of the day. You know, we've led laps. This is, you know, a bunch of times here that we've had a shot. So that's all you can ask for. Keep running top five, and you're gonna find yourself in the victory lane before you know it.
Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Lee.
Next, we're gonna go to Marty Zakala.
Thanks, Steph. Both of you guys, great runs tonight. You guys all had good execution on pit road under the yellow flags. Maybe starting with Daniel, then go to Brandon. Just take me through how impressive your pit crews have been today.
Dude, let me tell you, the pit crew on our team is unbelievable. I've never in my career came up pit road with more confidence. Obviously, we had our issues last week, and that was on me, just turning into the box late. And from the time I made the phone call immediately after the race last week, they said they couldn't wait to jump over the wall again. They were ready. They were going to show up, ready to work. They did that. First stop, coming down pit road, got me out lead in the lead. Second stop, third stop. I mean, multiple times came up pit road today, we gained position, and ultimately they put me in a spot to win the race. It's a different feeling, I can promise you, in a race car to come down pit road and know you have that kind of group behind you. And that starts from the top, right? Our leadership with Dave Rogers and this group have been together now for a while. Those boys, Pitt Denny Hamlin on Sundays, and obviously Chris Gabehart has molded them. And he told me before the season that they are without a doubt the best pit crew on pit road. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm so thankful to have them on my side and have them, you know, have them have my back by coming up pit road each and every time.
Brandon. All right, next we're going to – oh, sorry, Marty, do you have a follow-up?
Yeah, just the same question to Brandon. Sorry, Steph.
Yeah, I mean, I've always known, all the times I've been at Gibbs, I mean, these pit crews are phenomenal. And actually, guys that were at RCR when I was at RCR have now switched over and are pitting at Gibbs, and they've been here for consecutive years now. So I have an extremely good relationship with my guys. And one thing that's always been in the back of my mind is, you know, Daniel said he's got the best, but I always come down thinking I've got the best. And, my biggest thing is, minimizing my mistakes, because I know that they're going to be perfect. You know, that's what I expect every time, that they're going to nail it. So I have to minimize, the car lengths lost. I got to take advantage of climbing to that timing line as fast as you can, being extremely consistent on pit road, all those things. Can really make your pit crew look bad, but at the end of the day, it's the driver's fault because he's not maximizing that amount of speed. So that's the kind of things that I've been trying to do to help those guys out as best as possible. But love the group, love the team that we got. We got great energy.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Marty.
All right, now we're going to go to Cameron Richardson.
My question is for Daniel. Daniel, both you and John Hunter Nemechek had struggles in Cup, but both you have now this year have found success moving back in series. So how has your mentality changed in that transition?
It doesn't really change, right? I mean, I promise we both made that transition. We wanted to go put the work in and do everything we could to provide results for ourselves and our race teams, and for whatever reason, just didn't pan out. And I know him and I both have a breath of fresh air inside of us. We're both putting the work in off the racetrack. TRD is giving us all the tools, like I said earlier, to go and excel leading up to race weekends. And I'm just proud to be driving really fast. Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota Supers, right? It's so much fun to go to a racetrack, know you're going to have a shot to lead laps, win stages, and contend. Obviously, it's not going to work out every single week, but it's fun to be a part of the conversation again. Dave Rogers was joking on the radio, like, man, he looked good out front. And I said, in my mind, I'm thinking, you have no idea how good it feels. So look forward to having more of those opportunities down the road here.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to go to Garrett.
Thanks, Steph. Hey, Daniel, this is Garrett with the Gas and Go podcast. Good to catch up with you again. At the beginning of the year, you talked to us and told us that you were pretty excited to be in this ride. Four races in, you got three top fives. I imagine that excitement's still pretty high, huh?
Yeah, I mean, today took it to a different level, to be honest with you, Garrett. We've been fortunate as a race team to claw the last couple of weeks and get decent finishes. But today we went and earned one, right? I mean, we unloaded, we had way more speed, we had way more balance in our Poppy Bank Supra, and that made it a lot more fun from my perspective of telling Dave what I wanted and what I needed. And quite frankly, coming into this weekend, Dave thought that this was a racetrack that was one of their top three or four, least competitive racetracks. So we had to put a ton of work in off their past notes, and obviously we're still trying to put the building blocks together for you know, mine and his communication on what I want out of a race car. So I thought we took a huge leap in that category this week. I know it gives me a ton more confidence moving forward. Yeah, man, I'm just fired up and extremely blessed, thankful to be in the situation I'm in, to play the role I get to play, and to know that I get to come back each and every week, do it again.
Awesome. Well, great finish, man. Good luck the rest of the year.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Well, Brandon and Daniel, it looks like those are the last of the questions for you guys. Thanks so much for joining us. Congratulations and good luck next week in Phoenix.
Cool. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the questions, guys.
And to our media, just hang tight. We will be bringing AJ Allmendinger in shortly.
Can I roll?
Did you already move on?
I did. Yeah, no problem.
All right, everyone. We'll have to have AJ, I believe you have to take that off of mute there, and then we'll spotlight you.
Here we go. There we go. You got me?
Yeah, we do. Let me get you awesome. Spotlighted here. All right, everyone. We're now joined by our race winner, AJ Allmendinger, driver of the number 16 Ellsworth Advisor Chevrolet for Colleague Racing. AJ, we are going to go straight into questions for you because we had a ton of people put their hands up immediately when you sat down. We'll go to Bob Pockers first.
Yeah, AJ, I know you're a guy who lives in the moment, but have you started to think at all about championship and the your potential to vie for it?
Hey, Bob. No, honestly, what I'm enjoying most right now, and when I say this, it's not just me. It's everybody, all the men and women at Colleague Racing, Justin Haley, Jeb Burton. But what I've really enjoyed is the first time that I've really been able to work on the sim and full time at least, and help try to develop setups, help try to work ourselves in the right direction and get better. And I really thought at Daytona Road Course and Homestead, and now here, you know, our race cars have been a lot faster, and some of that setup, some of that is the fine tuning stuff of building new cars and putting all those fine details in those race cars. So I don't, you know, to win and lock ourselves in is great, but it's all about the process to get to whatever it is, race 24, when the playoffs start, because it does us no good to be strong right now and then get to the playoffs and be weak at that point. So to me, it's about living every weekend, working on the tools to try to make these race cars better. And not just on like the 16 car I was almost more enjoying watching Justin Haley go try to take the lead from Austin Cindric and just drive through the field early in that first stage. And then I was, when I was leading the race, because it shows all of our cars are strong. And Jeb finished, I believe, in the top 10 again. So if he did, that's all four races in the top 10 with a lot of top five. So we're getting there. I wouldn't consider us the organization to beat yet, but it's showing that all the hard work from the off season and each week leading up to these races to try to focus on where we need to be stronger is working.
And I don't know how much time you spend on social media, but have you seen any of the boot cut versus IndyCar cut fire suits debate? And
Bob,
have you ever?
Bob, I've lived that life, man. Like, I had to deal with it when I first showed up to NASCAR. I was like, "What in the hell is this? What am I wearing?" So, oh yeah, I mean, there's a little thing from IndyCar and NASCAR, and there's some differences in the car just a little bit, and in the suits as well.
So did you ever wear the wrong cut to the wrong series?
No. You know, my thing is I don't have to worry about the suits. That's Sparko's job. So they know what we like.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to go to Dustin Albino.
Hey, AJ, kind of Bob's first question. How important is it to get a victory right out of the gates four races in?
Well, I mean, the victory is very important, but I take more pride in how we've run as an organization. And, you know, you take the Daytona Road Course was very disappointing, obviously, what happened there. But I took so much pride that we were weak the last year there, and we showed up and we drove and took the lead. And we were so much stronger. Homestead was the same way last week. I mean, the finish was very frustrating at the end, but we led laps, and Homestead's not even one of my best racetracks. And we had a chance to win the race. And the great thing about it is I drive for an owner, and Jeb and Justin do that. I was frustrated after last week, and he laughed. He was like, if you don't go for it on the restart and try to go win the race, he doesn't want us here. So that's the type of owner that we have, that he's all about just going to try to win races and be better. And even though the finish didn't show it, we were better than we had been. And the same thing here. So yeah, the winning takes that weight off the shoulders. Like, okay, we got one. Now we can focus on the rest of the season, but it's more about the process of how we've run this year. You know, I'd rather run like this and get a win than kind of run mediocre, maybe steal one somehow. And because that does us no good in the long run.
Thank you, AJ.
Next, we're going to go to Cole Cusimano.
Thank you, Steph. Hey, congrats, AJ. You mentioned the process and getting to the playoffs, but you're a very emotional guy. This is your second career NASCAR playoffs appearance, period. So what does it mean to you to be in the playoffs, and how does this feeling differ from 2014 being in Cup and now being with a team like Colleague that yourself, Justin, and Jeb speak so highly of?
Yeah, I mean, listen, like, and I, you know, it's every opportunity that I've gotten in my life, I feel so fortunate and appreciative for, you know, whether it's worked out or hasn't worked out, whether it's been my fault or, you know, difference of opinions, whatever. Every time I get to drive a race car for somebody, it means the world to me, because I don't bring any sponsorship. I don't have any family money. Like you're putting me in the car because you believe in my abilities. And sometimes I don't even believe in my abilities like I should, but the owners do. So, you know, from Champ Car to, I mean, really from Toyota Lennox to Champ Car to NASCAR, IMSA with Meyer Shank Racing and Mike Shank for 15 years, like it means the world to me. And it's the same deal with Matt Colley to bring me part-time and then to ask me to come run full-time. That's why I'm so emotional after a win, because it's all the men and women that put the effort into it. And it's Matt Colley and Chris Rice and all of our partners. So like it means the world to me. And the best way I can show them is driving my ass off, because that's all I know how to do. And that's the only way I know really how to show them.
Thank you, AJ. Congrats.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to go to Jenna Fryer.
AJ, so emotional. I feel like you're emotional after all wins, though. Do you agree?
Well, Jenna, I mean, I'm not Kyle Busch. I don't have 100 of them, like in just Xfinity, or 300 or however many total he has in NASCAR. Like, Jenna, I mean, and everybody that's been in the sport for a long time, you've seen the ups and downs of what I went through, and you know, I'll always be open to it. Some are self-induced, some are just clawing and scratching to hang on to it. And I have a great opportunity, and I don't want it to be my last win. I believe with what we're doing at College Racing, we can have a whole lot more, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know when, like, this may be my last win. I don't want it to be, but I mean, it's not, I'm not getting any younger. But quite honestly, I think I'm getting better with age, because I got all the experience, and in a way I have the help. I wake up tomorrow and have to retire, then hell, I retire. Who cares? You know, like so it means the world to me to be able to bring victories to this race team and show how much I appreciate them.
Well, you were semi-retired, and then Matt Colley, he pulled you back in a little and then a little more. And then he told you he wants you all the time. I mean, how did he talk you into that?
I wrote in my contract that he has to get me on at Augusta. So he's played Augusta. And that was the only selling point, really.
All right, thank you.
Next, we're going to go to Tom Zalewski. Tom, I think you're muted. All right, Tom, we'll come back to you. We're going to go to Lee Spencer next.
Congratulations, AJ. Happy for you. You know, I've watched your career as well, and I think about the different teams you're with, the different personnel, and Chris Rice really has a way with how to handle you, and you hear it on the radio. I mean, it's almost with kid gloves. He knows when to tell Frank to kind of give you a little push, when to back off. I'm just wondering, you know, to have somebody who's that invested in you, what does it mean to you?
Well, I mean, I think it's this whole organization, and it starts with Matt Colick and on the day-to-day operations. Obviously, Chris Rice is the one leading the ship, but it, with all, and I probably, even if I say too much, I don't care. You know, it comes with every individual in this team. The fact that we're all in it together. There's no finger pointing. There's no ups and downs in the sense of like, if we did something wrong, somebody's pointing fingers at us and we're trying to deflect it. I mean, we're in it together. And so Chris knows how to handle that, but it also allows me to be me because I know that going for a win and it doesn't work out, I'm going to be pissed off. Like, he's told Matt not to talk to me after a race for a few minutes. Like, we get each other. And it just makes the team a lot of fun.
I mean, is that why you're thriving there? Is because they have really, giving you the perfect environment to just build on?
Well, I mean, I think it's thriving because our cars are getting better every year. I'm hoping I'm doing a good job leading us in the right direction as well as Justin Haley's been. I mean, it's his third year here, and without Justin, we'd be so much further behind than we are. You bring somebody new in like Jeb, and he fits right in and does the job and doesn't tear up equipment, runs inside the top five and top 10. So it's just one of those things. I feel like, you know, like I can just kind of be free-willed a little bit, and that if something goes wrong, we move on. And we have an owner that he's just having fun and he wants to win races and he shows his appreciation. And it just like, oh, I mean, everything, like it's, everything that goes with it makes it a lot of fun. So when you're having fun, you know how it is in all of us. Like, you're having a little bit more fun, it's easier to do your job. I mean, but with that said, I still put the pressure on myself. It's not like I'm, you know, like, oh, semi-retired or back full-time. Like, doesn't matter. Like, I'm sick to my stomach before every race because I want to go out there and perform. So it's not just smiling all the time. Like, I want to go do the job, but I know that I can.
Appreciate your time. Thanks, Steph.
Sure thing, Lee. Now we're going to go back to Tom.
Hi, AJ. The business of the race today, on that last restart, when Daniel went outside on off the choose rule, was that the opening you were looking for, or could you have handled it either way?
I think I could. I could have handled it either way. It really, what it comes down to is the second row. Tom and what, who's pushing, you know, Gregson gave me a heck of a push, and Daniel just happened to, I think Brandon was restarting behind him, and I don't know if Brandon spun the tires or was just a little late, but there was just that gap where Brandon didn't push Daniel, so I could get into turn one with a half car length lead on Daniel, and our car was so good, I kept it pinned to the floor and just knew I had to lead off of turn two, because Daniel was really quick, but he was especially quick on shorter runs. So once we got the lead, I knew I had to just kind of hold them off for a couple laps. And then our car was so fast after that I could start driving away, which is what we did. But it's the racetrack was a little bit weird because I thought it would kind of widen out in the sense where you could run multiple grooves and make lap time. But for the most part, it seemed like the bottom was the place to be. So clean air was very important.
Good deal, bud. Congrats.
Thank you, man.
Next, we're going to go to Sterling Price.
Thank you, Steph. First of all, AJ, congrats on the win today. I know a lot of people have considered you to be a road course ringer, considering your open wheel background and success on the road courses, but you've developed a knack for the ovals. How have you improved your racing on the ovals throughout the years that you've been in NASCAR?
Well, I mean, I've been pretty decent. I just feel like at times, you know, when you, the ovals, the car's a little bit more important. So, I mean, you got to have a really competitive car on the road courses. I can make up some of the stuff. So I always kind of laughed at it when people would call me a road course ringer. I would just say, well, I guess that means I don't equally suck at everything. So, but I mean, heck, I almost won Martinsville a couple times in Cup. When I was at Petty, I mean, there was about four races in a row at Dover. I had a chance to win. It just never happened. And, you know, at JTG, we were always, you know, we were working hard to improve our stuff, but you gotta have, I mean, we see it. It's important to have that downforce in the race car. So I feel like I've always been pretty good at ovals, but when you run up front like this, it allows you to learn more. And I'm learning as I go and finding my strengths and weaknesses. So I've always enjoyed the ovals. It's you have to have the right situation at times too.
Thanks, AJ. Congrats.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to go to Marty Zakala.
Thank you, Steph. AJ, congratulations on the win, man. Kind of a little bit as a follow-up to Cole's question. I know, like you said, you won Watkins Glen before, but how does this win rank amongst all of the wins you've had in NASCAR?
Well, I'm just I'm really having fun with college racing. So I don't even like to rank them anymore because – if you saw the way I am after that, after the race, like I'm emotional about it because, as I said, I mean, I don't know. You never know when your last win's going to be. So I appreciate all of them equally. You know, the Cup win at 2014 was so special because it's almost like nobody expected it. And I mean, to win at the Cup level is so hard to do. So, you know, winning with JTG and Doherty and Hav and Tad, Jody and Brad there, like, everybody's first win together was pretty special, but it's the same thing at Rolex with Mike Schenck and Meyer Schenck Racing when we won it in 2012, like to win it with Oz Negri and my close friend, Justin Wilson and John Pugh, and to have that emotional in victory lane. Like, I mean, I've been so lucky in my life to have won in IndyCar, to won in NASCAR, to won in IMSA. But like, I mean, it doesn't happen every week. So you just got to enjoy it.
Awesome. Thank you, AJ. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to go to Adam Fenwick.
Hey, AJ. Thanks for taking the time. Does this victory, how do I word this? Does this victory justify, in your mind, coming back and racing full time again? Because I know these last 2 years, you've been asked a lot about coming back and racing full time. And you always were very iffy about it. Does this victory justify making that decision to come back?
Adam, I honestly know. Like it's what justified it is trying to improve every week. And like I said, it's just the first couple of weeks, like just seeing that improvement. Even if the result didn't show it at the end of the race, showing, because that's what Chris Rice and Matt Colick, especially when I first came here, they said, we're not truly ready to win yet. I mean, we won the Super Speedway race at Daytona with Ross Chastain, but it's like on a weekly basis, we weren't ready to win yet consistently. And that's what we're trying to get to. I think we're getting really close. And that's why they wanted me here was to try to keep improving it. That's all they tell me. They don't tell me, let's go, you know, we'd love to win the race today. We all know that. They tell me, like, there's no pressure. You're making us better. We're getting better. That's all that matters. So, and you think about it, like, you know, this team didn't have a win in June of 2019. Now there's what, 8? And hopefully we get a lot more. So it's happening fairly quick once we got rolling and we're continually improving. So the win just is gratifying for everybody, but it doesn't justify. Like, I didn't make that the justification of, like, that's the reason I'm coming back. I have to win. And if not, then it's all for naught.
Thank you, AJ.
Thank you.
AJ, we still have a couple more here for you. We're going to go to Luis Torres.
Thank you, Steph. So it goes back to a couple of people. Of course, I follow your career the entire time. You ran the old Vegas layout, if I remember correctly, on a road course kit. You've had some ups and downs at Vegas in the Cup level. This was your first Xfinity start at this very track. Just tell us, what just clicked for you this time around? With this, is just the overall team effort, or just kind of like being in the right position throughout the day?
Well, I mean, I have the confidence in myself that when the car's right, we can go do the job. But you know, I also know there's certain weaknesses that I'd love to keep working on, and I will always work on, but maybe that will never be my strength. For instance, like Holmes said last week, I knew if it got into a really long run, we probably weren't going to win because I can't run the fence as good as Noah Gregson and Tyler Reddick. It's just, it's how it is. I'll always keep working on it. But this racetrack, you know, I've always enjoyed it. I've had a little success in the sense of at speed at times in the Cup car here. But I've also been way off. But no, I mean, it's just, as soon as we dropped the green, I said, okay, like, this car feels good. And now it's just about working on it and putting the whole race together, which we hadn't yet this year. And, you know, it's about the restart there, knowing that I have Matt Collin for a team owner, that if I go into turn one under Daniel Hamrick and I lift because I'm, you know, or am worried about getting a good finish and, you know, potentially messing up a race for a good finish compared to just hold it wide open and go win this damn thing, makes it enjoyable. Cause I rolled in turn one and I put both feet on the right side and said, you know, I hope this thing sticks and comes out the other side with the lead. Otherwise it could be big, but I knew if it happened like that, that Matt Collard wouldn't care because I was going for the win. So yeah, it's just, the car was dialed in today. The pit stops were dialed in. The strategy, the adjustments, everything. I mean, it's a team effort, and that's why it happened.
Thank you, and go enjoy that victory, of course.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to go to Garrett with the Gas and Go podcast.
Hey, AJ. I can't get over how happy you sound and how much fun you say you're having. Is this the happiest you've ever been and the most fun you've ever had in a race car?
Hey, Garrett. Yeah, I say this because my PR girl's sitting next to me and she sees how I am before the race and after the race if it doesn't go well. So I'm sure we'll take this with a little grain of salt. But once I get over the emotion of nerves before the race, or if the race doesn't go really well at the after the race, just the enjoyment of hanging out with all the team members and being at the shop and hanging out away from the racetrack and being in this together to try and improve. Yes, it's the most fun I've ever had. Now, certainly the pressure I'm always going to put on myself. So at times I'm going to make myself ill and stress about it and maybe look like I'm not having fun, but that's only because I care and I'm passionate about it, especially for this organization. So yeah, away from it for sure. Like really enjoying it and having a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, congrats and keep having fun, man.
Thank you.
All right, AJ, we have one more question from Calvin LaPierre. Go ahead, Calvin.
Thanks, Steph. Thanks, AJ, for taking some time out after the win. Just a couple quick ones. What did it mean to you to have the fans back? I know you've won at Watkins Glen with a sellout crowd there. Then you won at Atlanta last year. I don't think the fans were back at that point yet in the Xfinity Series. What did it mean to have them back there in Vegas today?
Yeah, Calvin. I mean, it just it means everything because quite honestly, as we all know, and not just as our race team, all of us in this industry, if we can't get fans back to these racetracks, we will not survive. So, at Atlanta last year, it was really weird, like getting out of the car and screaming at myself really, because there's nobody there. And then even at the Roval last year, it was unfortunate because there were fans there, but it monsooned, so we didn't get to celebrate with them. So, yeah, it's of course we'd love to have it max capacity and have this place full like Las Vegas always does, but just to have some fans back means everything to this industry and to us as drivers, to team people. So I wanted to make sure I showed my appreciation right away that they're the most important thing in the sport, because without them, sponsors don't want to be here and won't be being a part of it because the sport won't exist. So I wanted to try to make sure that they understood how much I appreciated them showing up.
And then you're going to Phoenix next week for the Xfinity race, and that's the where the championship four is. What do you need to go in now, knowing you've locked yourself in and want to learn going in case you do make it that championship four at Phoenix?
I mean, it doesn't change our outlook of the race. We've been working on the setup and trying to get better. I thought Justin Haley did a great job last year making it to the final four, and we didn't quite have the speed there for him to go win the championship, but he fought hard and he was in it at the end. So it's the same thing every week, Kelvin, really. It's just trying to improve, use our tools at home to see how much it correlates to the actual racetrack, especially at the races that we don't have any practice. And we'll do the same next week.
Thanks, AJ. Good luck next week.
Thank you.
All right, AJ. Well, congratulations on the win today. Thanks for spending so much time with us tonight.
Thank you. Thank you all.
And to all of our media, we'll have the audio and video from this press conference on NASCARmedia.com shortly. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow after the cup race.